what it means to be ready for his return, and how to live until he comes. The first one is the first 13 verses. It teaches that every person is responsible for his or her own spiritual condition. Second one is verses 14 to 30. It shows the necessity to use well what God has entrusted to us. And the third parable is verses 31 to 46, and it stresses the importance of serving and helping others in need. Each one presents one part of the whole picture. Tonight we will only take the first one about being ready for his return, for us to learn to watch and be ready because we are close to the end. So Matthew quote Jesus, and he said in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps." So Jesus teaches his followers the necessity of constant readiness as they await his coming back. We all know he's coming back. The first word is then, and it refers us back to chapter 24. It reminds us that this parable here is tied up with the word of Jesus about the great tribulation. In the end times and his return, we need to be ready. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to 10 girls with lamps, 10 boys with a flashlight, 5 had batteries, 5 did not have batteries. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. The 10 bridesmaids are called virgins because they were not married. Wedding customs differ from village to village in ancient Israel, but all weddings included the same basic traditions as we do today. And one of them was the procession to the bridegroom's family home. In the first century Israel, the wedding ceremony was preceded by a period of betrothal, engagement, that was much more binding than an engagement in today's society. Today, people cancel and get out of an engagement as fast as they get in. Back then, it was the first step, the first stage of married. They were married already. It took a divorce to dissolve this arrangement. At the end of that betrothal period, the marriage took place on a Wednesday if the bride was a virgin, and on a Thursday if she was a widow, giving the men an extra day to think about it. No, just kidding. The bridegroom and his party made their way to the home of the bride. When the two groups came together, the wedding took place. After this, there was a procession, generally to the home of the bridegroom, where feasting took place, and it would go for days and days. They were party animals. The procession usually took place at night, when lamps and torches made for a spectacular display. This is what Jesus is talking about here. The 10 girls were involved in going out to meet the bridegroom. which confirmed that they belonged to the bride's party. They would then have their place in the procession to the bridegroom's home for the feast. In the parable of Jesus, he is king. And he will return from heaven with his bride, the church, in order to enter into the millennium. The Jews in the Great Tribulation will be the bridesmaids, privileged, invited guests to share in the feast with the bride, the church, and her bridegroom, Jesus. This is after the rapture of the church. The girls fall into two groups in verse 2. There is no particular significance to the same number in each group, 5 and 5. Some people see things everywhere. It does not mean that half of the world will be saved and another half of the world will not be saved. The parable simply establishes two categories. But there is only two categories in the whole world. Those who believe and receive the king, and those who don't. In this wedding procession, some girls were more foolish than the others. They were not thinking. They all had lamps, so they all looked prepared. But the foolish girls took no oil with them. It was necessary to feed those lamps, either by refilling the little cup with wicks or pouring oil on the rags if they were torches. Either way, more oil was required. It was needed to keep them burning. But here some had neglected to bring the required oil. The 5 wise virgins represent the true disciples of Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation. There will be disciples of Christ going through the Great Tribulation. Some will make it all the way, 7 years. The lamps speak of their profession, and the oil is generally acknowledged to be a type of the Holy Spirit. The foolish virgin represent those who profess to hold the messianic hope, ready for his return, but who had not really been converted and did not have the Holy Spirit. They look like the others, but they were not the same. The foolish were satisfied with their spiritual state, and they did not bother to keep their spiritual life healthy and effective by the renewal of the Holy Spirit in their heart. They retained the outward show of faith, but neglected the true inward life of faith. They had the appearance. They looked good without having the reality. It is a dangerous thing to be content with looking good on the outside, looking like everybody else, but not have the Holy Spirit inside. Jesus goes on, said in verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. It was customary for the bridegroom to delay. so that no one would know exactly when he is going to show up. The bridegroom would take his time, and everyone knew that. While he was delaying, the 10 girls fell asleep. In verse 5. This is not wrong or shameful. Jesus does not say anything bad about that. Not a word of blame is said for the sleepers. To sleep was really a good idea. From the time of the bridegroom to make his appearance to the celebration, they would be kept very busy for a long time. And to sleep while they could was an opportunity not to miss. Actually, they were smart. Several translations say that the bridegroom arrived at midnight, verse 6. But the sense of the original text is in the middle of the night. No specific time. The bridegroom had not actually arrived yet, but he had been seen. Someone had actually seen him approaching. So the command was given to go out and meet him in verse 6. The shout got immediate action. All the girls got up and they started to trim their lamps in verse 7. Again, at this point, there is still no difference among the 10 girls. All of them woke up. All of them go to work on their lamps. The difference between the two groups is seen when you get to verse 8. Since a lamp can only hold a small amount of oil, we can assume that no one kept those lamps burning while they were sleeping. This is not the reason why some of the girls' lamps were going out. The foolish girls found themselves in trouble. Their lamps were going out. There would be no place in a lamp light procession for girls whose lamps were out. They could not join the group. But there was no immediate panic. These girls are not worrying. Other girls in the group had oil. Why worry? We'll borrow, man. So they asked the other girls to give them some of their oil in verse 8. To the careless girls, that seemed like the obvious solution. There are people like this who always depend on others to get them out of trouble. They don't plan, they don't anticipate, they don't make preparation. They depend on others. Taking from others is always their solution. Not this time. I remember when I was in high school, 100 years ago, I used to smoke cigarette. That was the thing to do then. We had nothing else to do. And there was not one guy in my class who also smoked. His name was Robert. But he never had any cigarettes. He never bought any. He was always depending on everybody else to borrow a cigarette. There will always be people like this. I fooled him, I quit. Look what the wise girl did to the foolish girl. They refused to give them any. Verse 9. They were not sure whether the supply that they have would be adequate for all 10 of them. They told them to go buy some oil for themselves. Some Christians have a hard time with that. Why not share with others? They say. Well, certain things cannot be shared. The wise girl's refusal may seem selfish, but in the spiritual realm, no one can dispense the thing of the spirit to another person. They have to be acquired personally, individually, directly from the Holy Spirit. Others have a problem with the response that they give to go out to those who sell. They assume that the store are closed in the middle of the night. Why in the world would they say that to the girls? The owners live in their stores or in an apartment above the store. And it was possible to buy oil in the middle of the night. All they had to do was to knock on the door, get them out of bed, and get them to open the store. Also in the small villages of Israel, a wedding procession might cause the whole town to be up in the middle of the night, because that was exciting. As we continue the story, you will see that the girls, they got oil in the middle of the night. We need to remember that Jesus is teaching here the importance of watchfulness. He is not going into all the possibilities of life. His lesson is about being ready for the coming of Christ, the bridegroom. The lesson applies to the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he will come again to earth with his bride, the church, and some people will be allowed to enter in and participate in the millennial reign on earth, while others won't be allowed. You can also apply the lesson to the rapture of the church when Jesus comes in the clouds and call his bride for him. In both cases, preparation is required for participation, except that at the rapture, nobody sees nothing. They vanish, they're gone. Jesus ends the story and he says in verse 10, "And while they went to buy," they got some oil, "the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgin came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" The delay was fatal. While they were gone to buy some oil, taking care of the business that they should have taken care of earlier, the bridegroom came, in verse 10. All those ready went in. Ready, they went into the wedding, and the door was shut. The preparation of the five wise girls paid off. They took their appointed place in the wedding festivities. The fact that the door was shut indicates that there was a time to join the festivities, and those who were not ready when the time came were excluded. Those who fail to be ready when the king comes cannot enter his kingdom. Likewise, during the rapture of the church, you need to be ready before it, not starting to be ready when you see people missing. It's too late. Apparently, the foolish girls eventually got their oil, and they arrive at the banquet hall. They call the Lord and they ask him to open to them in verse 11. It is interesting that they would call the bridegroom. One would think that someone else had the responsibility of keeping the door. But the story is about the bridegroom and the 10 girls. Also, it is what the bridegroom says that is important, not who the doorkeeper is. The bridegroom pronounced words that makes it clear that they will be definitely excluded from the rejoicing crowd. It's not the expression, "Assuredly, I say to you," verse 12, that is disturbing in the story. But the expression, "I do not know you." Their failure to be ready when the time came meant that they were not known by the bridegroom. So they were excluded. Now, if you reason that no bridegroom would ever do that, he would never say that he did not know someone of the invited guests. Well, you missed the point of the story. Jesus is not telling a story about something that actually happened. It is a parable. He is teaching. He is warning people of the dreadful fate of those who know they should be watching for the coming of the Son of Man, but they are not doing it. They exclude themselves from any place among the people of God. The Savior cannot recognize them among the saved. They shut themselves out. The point that Jesus is making here is not to be ready at the right time means to miss out completely. Those outside will not have another chance to be let in. These five here in the story, they never made it in. To have been part of the party was not enough. To be part of a crowd at church is not enough. Unless correct preparations are made, some will lose out. No preparation, no participation. Always remember that. We are close to the rapture of the church, and that applies to it. No preparation, no participation. Be alert. Be prepared. Jesus hammered home the lesson of it all in verse 13. And he says, "Watch therefore." Then he repeats it again, that no one knows the day nor the hour of his coming. Those who are unfaithful must realize that neglecting this warning of Christ may lead to irreversible consequences. As we start the new year, we do not know what is in store for us. So many things can happen in 2022. For several years now, things have been very bad, and they seem to be going from bad to worse. We have seen deadly earthquakes, deadly tornadoes, worse than ever before. We have seen major financial disaster, terrible pestilences, so many foreclosures, so many bankruptcy, unemployment higher than ever, so many homeless people camping everywhere around the cities. Crime is out of control. What will happen next? Where will we end up? We see all the signs that Jesus predicted before he comes again. This is not the time to play games with God and the things of God. It is no time to say, I'll get ready when things get worse. Like the foolish virgin, you may miss the boat completely. Every commentator agrees that the oil in this parable symbolizes the Holy Spirit. This is the main item that the five unwise virgins were missing. It was required to go in with the bridegroom. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit and you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit for this coming year. 2022 could very well be the year when Jesus comes down to the cloud and calls us to go and meet him there and for us to remain with him for all eternity. We don't know. The Lord's recommendation is very simple. It cannot be more simple. Watch and be ready. The best thing you could do in 2022 is watch and be ready. Looking around at all the things currently happening, we cannot help but ask, are we close to the end? Yes, we are. We are closer than we have ever been. I'd like to close with a prayer from Sarah Young, from her book, Jesus Listen. She says, as I begin a fresh year, I rejoice that you are continually working newness into my life. The U is capital Y, Jesus. Because you are doing a new thing. I must not dwell on the past. I refuse to let last year's disappointments and failures define me or dampen my expectation. This is the day for a fresh start. I know there are no limits to your creativity, so I anticipate some lovely surprises in this new year that stretches out before me. Lord, I receive today as a precious gift from you. As I journey along the path of life, I will search for signs of your loving presence. I will delight in finding the little blessing you sprinkle alongside of my pathway, sometimes in surprising places. As I discover them, I will thank you for each one. And this will keep me close to you and help me find joy in my journey. So we have a journey, 2022. For some, it will be the last one. For some others, they may be continuing. We have no way of knowing. Jesus cares for all people. He cares for the wise virgin. He cares for the foolish virgin. The message is the same for all of them. Be ready. Watch and be ready. So tonight we're going to partake of communion. We end the year with the Lord. So rather than serving you the communion, you can come and get the elements and go in your seat and you can pray together and partake. Like the prayer of Sarah Young, do not let last year's disappointment and failures dampen your expectation. God is doing a new thing. Be ready for a fresh start. Anticipate some lovely surprises in this new year. Be excited and positive with your family. No need to be bummed out. All you need is to watch and be ready. Pass this warning of Jesus to your family. We are close to the end. I always wonder when it is going to be my last sermon. when I'm going to come to this church for the last time. Because there is a last time for all of us. God has a clock. God has a calendar. The word talks about his. You don't know the day nor the hour. He has a clock. He has a calendar. He has our name on the clock. And we all know that. I cannot understand someone who would fight trying to be ready. We all know we are going to die. Betty White thought she was going to be 100 years old. She didn't make it. She died yesterday or today. We're all going to die. Each and every one of us. Knowing that, why can't we be ready? Knowing that we are going to let go of our home. Let go of all of our stuff. Let go of all the money. Why would it have priority over us getting ready spiritually? I don't get it. You have to be ready. And in my opinion, there is nothing more important, there is nothing I would rather tell you tonight than watch and be ready. This is what Jesus wanted. This is what he still wants today. And if he would be here, sitting on a chair, he would tell you, watch and be ready. We've never been so close. One day, the clock's going to change. Everything's going to fall apart. It's going to be upside down. And some will have missed the rapture and will cry. I don't want you to miss it. I pray that you would listen to Jesus. You would watch and be ready. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he bless your home, your family, your children. May he touch your heart tonight. May you see the seriousness of the time in which we live. And we need to be watchful and be ready because things are going to change. Hopefully, 2022. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.